Hey, it's Jonathan Mertz, and real quick before we get into this episode of It's Your Break, and apologies again, we promoted that a show was going to drop Friday, which would have been April 19th. Due to circumstances beyond our control, we couldn't get that episode out. We are not going to go into details why just yet, but that episode will air soon. We can't tell you what it's about because it's kind of a surprise. Anyways, again, our deepest apologies on that. But I will tell you this, our schedule for It's Your Break, the big show, which is this one you're going to hear, basically our long format show, it's going to be on the schedule about once a month. As you can hear, my voice isn't quite all the way back yet. And I have actually been battling severe allergies this year due to the fact that I was breathing in straight mold. And I might go over that in a different episode. Has a lot to do with a CPAP machine that I have. So I've kind of got a little asthmatic symptoms going on. And sorry for the deep breathing. That's just part of the side effects of this. And so with this being a one-man show, I've kind of had to put things on hiatus a little bit. But we're still planning on pushing out It's Your Break once a month, McGripe once a month, Bubba once a month, and hopefully a mini break here and there that'll kind of fill the gaps. Without further ado, though, let's go ahead and get the show on the road.
Welcome to It's Your Break. Sit down, relax, and take a break.
Welcome to It's Your Break. Hi, I'm Jonathan Mertz, and coming up on today's show, we're taking you biking across the globe, all while taking pictures. What do I mean? Well, you'll find out next on It's Your Break. It's Your Break will return right after this. At Shore Shooters, beach photography is our specialty. It's all we do. Our experienced fun photographers are the best at capturing your vacation memories as they happen. It's real life, candid, and fun, not just posed portraits. And we're not just isolated to one beach. We are in the Alabama Gulf Coast with Dolphin Island, Gulf Shores, and Orange Beach, the Florida Panhandle, Tampa Bay area beaches, Sarasota, Fort Myers, and Hilton Head, South Carolina. To learn more about us, see our pricing options, meet our photographers, see samples of our works, read reviews from our clients, or to schedule your beach photography session, go to shoreshooters.com. That's shoreshooters.com, or call us at 866-856-2435. Schedule your session online and enter the discount code SUNNY for $10 off any package. Again, that discount code is SUNNY for a $10 discount towards any beach photography session.
And now, back to It's Your Break.
As you well know, I'm Jonathan Mertz, and welcome back to It's Your Break, and thank you for taking this break with us. Answer this for me. When you're out and about or on a trip, do you ever take a moment to take in the scenery? Or how about this? You're out riding your bike and you notice a beautiful sunset, or maybe you notice a sparkling waterfall. Do you stop and take a couple of pics? Our show today focuses on moments just like those, and our guest today has created not just moments like those, but a whole emotional experience to go along with it. My guest today is Kevin Winning, and he's the mastermind behind intentionallylost.com, a website designed to give you access to adventures and moments all while riding your bike. This is something pretty interesting that has been set up. And Kevin, thank you so much for taking your time to be on the show.
Thank you for having me here, Jonathan.
So what compelled you to create this website that sets up biking adventures mixed with photography?
That could be a very long story, so I'll try and be brief. I like the way you explained that there, that it's about the whole emotional adventure and bringing all those pieces together. I've done variations on the cycling and photography myself over the years, putting these together, and it's not something I went out, with a business purpose in mind and said, I'm going to make this work. I think there's an underserved market here. It was more of an evolution of my own interests over the years and just things that came together in my own passions and my travels. And then realizing when I got to a certain point in my life that there really wasn't anything that served that niche. So I really built the business to scratch my own itch, if you will. And then when I started putting it together, you have those moments of doubt in any new business venture. You look at yourself in the mirror and you go, am I nuts? Does anybody else want this thing? Is this a good idea? And just ran it past, you know, the friends I know that have the same type of interests, that take international trips, that are cyclists, that do adventure trips and photography, and said, you know, if there was something like this in the market, would you actually do it? Do you think it's a good idea? And everybody to a person has said, yeah, sounds like a really interesting idea, but I have some questions. And that kind of led me down the path of, you know, sussing out the details and putting it together and making it all work.
Let me ask you this. When you're putting together your packages, are the gear just for the avid cyclist, or do you put something together for the novice as well? I mean, if I just had to look at the mountain terrain that's just in Colorado, where you guys are based out of, that can look pretty intimidating to a novice.
Good question. So the way that I build out the tours is, and it's not like any other cycling tour, is if you were going to take, so I've got another trip that I've built out in Tuscany, in Italy for next year, and that has a little bit more flat landscape on a few of the days. And I do put that together on the website with the ride profile so everybody can go there and see, you know, the elevation ride or elevation for the day and how long we ride each day. So I provide all those details to people, but I really base the rides for each day around visually interesting locations, right? So I could do a ride across the middle of New Mexico that's perfectly flat and call it a nice beginner intermediate ride, but it's across the middle of New Mexico. And I love New Mexico. I've got a lot of friends there. I like to go riding there myself, but it's not the kind of place that inspires me to pull out my camera and photograph the landscapes every day. So it's got to be a mix of visually interesting locations and then moderate to challenging rides. And the biggest logistics thing, as far as for me as a tour operator, is to make sure that everything is supported. So if somebody does start out for the day and feels like, you know, I can do this entire ride, and then they get an hour and a half into the ride and decide, I'm done, that's it. There's a support vehicle behind the group that can take you, you know, to the next location. And you know, another logistics thing I've worked out over the years too is rather than doing group rides, everybody gets to ride at their own pace. So if you want to, you know, take 4 hours to ride the route for the day, you can do that. If you're a stellar cyclist and you just want to knock it out, you're gonna treat it like a training ride and you want to do it in an hour, go for it. That's up to you. So everybody can ride, you know, at their own pace rather than the people who are the new riders feeling like all the pro riders are just looking at them like, oh, you're making us all go so slow. And so anyway, I'm kind of talking around the answer there. But yeah, so the routes are built really around the photo location. And then I give people as much information as I can up front, be as transparent as possible about what the rides look like. And then, you know, if you want to do part of the ride or all of the ride for each day, that's up to you.
I really like that fact that you have a tail vehicle that can pick up people who are just get worn out or is there in case of an emergency. You know, I'm not sure if everyone else would have thought this through.
The reason I'm putting together the tours the way I am is based on, like I said, several years of kind of doing this myself. And I came to the realization that, you know, there's not really a market out there, but there's a niche of cyclists that love bikepacking, where they'll go out for days or weeks or even months on end on their own with their bike, all of their gear, and they're completely self-sustained. And if something happens, they're completely responsible for themselves. And there's a joy in that that's hard to describe if you've never done it and been there. But for myself and for most people, you know, the kind of people that would be interested in the sort of trips I do, we don't have weeks or months to go on that sort of a trip. We want to go to a location and get the most out of it possible for the time that we have to spend on that holiday. And in order to do that, I want those details taken care of for me. I don't want to be stranded out there. I want to make sure that I'm going to get in time for dinner and I'm going to have a comfy bed to sleep in, and all of those logistics are going to have been, you know, thought of and taken care of for me, essentially.
You said that these cycling adventures incorporate photography and that you already have a lot of spots picked out for people to take snapshots of. So what I wanted to know is, do you have people taking their professional DSLR cameras or just their mobile phone and maybe a quick shot camera. The reason I ask is because I know professional photographers, and a lot of them think about the rules of thirds, lighting exposure, aperture, shutter speeds, and so on. So do they take their professional DSLR cameras with them, or do they use something else?
Both. The majority of travelers are serious photographers, which can include, like myself, I take my cell phone on my bike ride. I do almost all my shooting on a bike ride with a cell phone. But I'm not taking the time to contemplate a scene and wait for the sun to be at the right spot and wait for the clouds to move. In those kind of situations, I'll do a scouting bike ride. So I'll take my cell phone and I'll take some, I call it go-by photos. So it's just kind of I remember to come back to this spot when I have time and bring my proper camera to shoot. So on the bike, most people are not taking their DSLR, their big camera, and their lenses along with them. That's not discouraged, but it's not an organized part of the way that I built the trips. So the way that the days are planned is, like I said, you ride at your own pace, and then we say at the end of the day, we're going to shoot at this location. We're shooting this cathedral. We're shooting this landscape. We're shooting this architecture, whatever our specific location is for the day. And we try and organize those for the most part in the evenings. So it's, okay, you've got the whole day to do whatever you want to do. If you want to be part of the organized shoot where we're actually doing our, I call it contemplative, serious photography, then we're going to meet at this time and have your gear. And of course, the vehicle is going to take it ahead to that stop for you, so you don't have to ride with it on your bike. There are always people who do want to take their gear on their bike and stop for shots along the way, but the shots that you get on your bike are going to be different and serve a different purpose than that spot where you just set up and you wait for the conditions to be right. You're really thinking through the shot.
So what this sounds like to me is that you set up two different sections, one where it focuses on the bike ride, and two where you've set up points of interest for photography so that can really be enjoyed. Is that correct?
Right. And I like to take my bike ride seriously as well, meaning I'm not just out there with my phone trying to get a few selfies of myself and my group to post on Instagram during my ride. I'm just enjoying my time on the bike. I'm looking at the scenery, taking my time, just enjoying my bike ride. And then when I get off and I grab my camera and I'm going for my shoot for the evening, now I'm enjoying my photography time. And they really are separate things. And that to me is part of the attraction of the type of trip I'm putting together anyway, is you get to exercise different parts of your personality, different parts of yourself on the same holiday. It's not all go, go, go. We just got to get from point A to point B. We're going to ride our bike as fast as possible. And it's not all slow, contemplative photography. There's a bit of both in each day.
You know, I do a little photography on the side, mainly real estate photography these days, but I know how heavy a DSLR camera is and how heavy the lenses can be. And I'm thinking this isn't something I want to carry on a bike trip. So for me, I would just likely take my smartphone with me and say, I've got this, and this is what I'm going to do.
And I try and plan at least one day in each trip where we have a location during a ride day where I say, okay, the van's going to stop here, and we're all going to ride to this location, and now there's a cool backdrop behind us. There's a cool mountain. There's a cool valley, a something. We're going to stop and actually take photos of each other on our bike. So we're going to have a ride photo day because you don't go on an epic bike trip with other photographers and not come home with good photos of yourself. That would just be a waste, right? So you gotta get the best of both worlds there too.
Now tell me this, each night after the bike ride, what do y'all do? Do y'all get together and hang out, or are you just so dog tired from the bike ride and the adventure that you go straight to bed? I guess what I'm wanting to know is what type of camaraderie is there?
Well, the tours are designed as end to end. So you start off at one hotel, ride to the next hotel for the night, and everybody stays there for the night. And everything is always optional. There's no, we're mandated to be at this point at this time, but we do try and serve most dinners to everybody, so we get together for the dinners. Likewise for the photo shoots. Occasionally there's somebody that's a real professional photographer on the trip, and they don't want to stick around for the group photo session. They may go off walking by themselves for dinner and take their own photos. That's perfectly fine as well. So the idea is to have everything planned around, we'll do everything together. If you feel like just wandering off on your own and getting a little bit lost, and that's just fine as well. So anyway, I'm not sure. Did that answer your question?
It actually did.
I'm not sure.
I just didn't know how everything was planned out afterwards. But I see what you're doing now. It's all based on your own pace.
I kind of build them loosely around, like I said, every morning we brief people on, here's the planned stops. We're going to stop here for our evening shoot. If you want to be part of dinner, we're stopping at this point, and be at this place for dinner. But then if you've ever done sort of a group photography trip or a group cycling trip, there's always one or two people that you connect with. You may not connect with everybody in the group, but there's somebody that you just get each other. You understand each other, and you're going to kind of hang out together during the trip. But you may be at your own pace. So if you just want to take it easy, you're going to stop for lunch, and you may get in a little bit late. You're not necessarily going to join everybody for dinner. That needs to be okay, too. You can't be so structured that you feel like, gosh, I really didn't have time in the day. I didn't really enjoy the trip because I was just forced to make it to all these stops on time. So there's got to be that flexibility for people, too.
Gotcha. Now, do you all include alternate routes, or is this just one map course?
It depends on the trip, wherever the location is. We plan the routes to be between 30 and 40 miles a day for the rides. And if you are just a stellar rider, we'll give you a route for some extra miles for the day. But again, that's why we don't do necessarily group rides where everybody has to stick together. So if you want to knock out the ride early and you're the kind of person who, like, 40 miles is just warming up your legs and you really need to ride 80 miles for the day, okay, here's another addition to the route that you can ride. But the general answer is we just do one route for the day. Everybody rides the same route. If you feel like you need more miles, we'll give you a route with some extra miles on it.
One of the reasons I ask about the alternate routes is because if you give them an alternate path or let them take their own course, it brings up concerns. I mean, if you do go do your own thing, you could end up somewhere you really didn't want to be. You have to take into consideration your surroundings. If you're in a foreign country or like any other U.S. city, there are just areas that you necessarily don't want to be in, not because they're violent or dangerous, but because it may not be suitable for biking.
Very true. And these are all road bike tours that I'm doing as well. We're not doing mountain bike tours primarily for the purpose that they're a little bit more dangerous, more chance of people getting hurt on mountain bike tours. And then because we're doing photography tours, we want to cover as much territory as possible. So 50 miles a day covers a lot of ground. We can get between all the major cities and the major landmarks and places that we want to photograph, which is why we do road tours. But for those people that want to do extra miles during the day, that's why we give them a specific route. So we know the conversation basically with that person goes, okay, here's the extra route. If you're not in by dinner, we're going to send the van out looking for you. If you go off this route and you decide you're just going to go AWOL on a different, on a different road, okay, you already signed the release. You know that we can't come find you. So that's on you. And we're not taking anybody on these trips that's not adults and they know how to be responsible for themselves. But that has never been a problem as far as people staying on the planned route so we can come find them.
That's good. That's really good. So to get back on track with this interview, how many of these trips do you put together in a year?
Right now I'm running a couple a year. And the way that my model personally is I'm building this out to be something that sustains itself, not something that makes me a living. I've got other means of income and things that I do for paying the bills, feeding my family, paying the mortgage, all that fun stuff. But my impetus behind doing these was when I got to the point in my life where I was doing a lot of travel. I was doing a lot of travel photography. And I had to look at my life and what came next, and I decided to start a family. Now I'm married. I've got a house. I've got two little kids. But I didn't want to give those things up. I didn't want them to not be a part of my life. So I had to figure out, either do I just do this on my own whenever I have free time and dad's off on his own, he's doing his bike vacation, or do I find a way to make this part of my life? So long-term, the plan is that it's something that doesn't make me money, but it sustains itself enough to the point that my kids can be part of the tour planning and help me run the tours when they get old enough.
I like how you're developing that whole experience within your family.
Right.
Kevin, earlier I caught on to something that you said. You mentioned or alluded that these tours may not be your primary job. So is this your primary job?
No, the bike tours and the photography is something that I'm doing essentially to make itself sustainable. But it's, for me as a person, it's a creative outlet. It's something that I'm passionate about and that keeps me interested in life and being active outside of, you know, what I do on a day-to-day basis. Just that was why I started doing this all in the first place, because I do have a corporate job. I'm a project manager for big software development. We work with big Fortune 500 and 100 companies, and it's, you know, corporate business every day. And if I don't have that other something that keeps me interested, I kind of get depressed about my day-to-day. So I've got to have that creative outlet too.
I can relate to that. I completely understand the need for creativity. All right, I'm going to transition things just a little bit. And this is a big question. And I know it's going to be on a lot of people's minds. How much do these adventures cost?
On the low end, $2,000 to $2,500 if we're doing a real short tour. I want to say my Colorado trip that's coming up in September this year is priced right at $2,500. Italy is going to be about $3,600. I should have looked at this before we talked. So it ranges. It definitely is a range. I try and keep them below 6,000 on the high end. I'm planning one for New Zealand right now that I haven't got fully priced out yet. That's going to be on the higher end. But then the most of the people that take these kind of trips are from North America, which I'm rather surprised at. Figured I'd get more people, you know, from Southeast Asia, Japan, China. But the majority of the people that take these sort of trips are from the U.S. So, like Morocco, when I went there, you don't want to do a short trip because that's a long flight. You know you're going to want to spend a couple of weeks there. So rather than, you know, try and keep the price too low and the trip ends up being short, might as well, you know, still try and keep it moderate, but make sure that you make the most of people's time.
That's not too terrible of prices, especially for the amount of time you spend on these trips, the places you go and the things you do. I mean, you got to think about it that this isn't just a 1 or 2 day adventure.
Oh yeah. Tuscany trip is going to be an 8 day trip. The Colorado trip is a 5 day trip. So they vary, but, when I was doing these trips myself and what really kind of turned the switch for me to think about, hey, I should build these as tours and get other people to go with me. I was essentially doing it myself, where I would go to a country, hire all of the ground operators and the support myself, and then I would pay for, you know, myself. So that's how I first scouted the trip I did in Morocco. And that one came in at a very high price point just for me to do it by myself. So the more people I get to go with me, the cheaper it is for everybody, of course.
All right, I want to let you know something. When I decide to highlight a business on my show, I look at it from the perspective of, does it interest me or would it interest someone else? And when I hear of something or read something that strikes me, well, I want to put it on my show. And that's why you're here. So ultimately, this interview is a way for you to promote your business, even though I'm not getting paid to put you on. This is just something I found interesting and wanted you have on the show. But outside of our show, when thinking of marketing, how do you create exposure for your company or how do you get out there to other people?
Well, in that vein, things just keep getting harder and harder. I mean, social media is definitely an easy way to get to a large audience, but at the same time, all of those channels are now, you know, much more pay-for-play to get your content in front of people, if you will. But the model I'm working on is very much based on why I personally started traveling in the first place, which was seeing other photographers, other adventure-minded people just blogging, writing, sharing their photos, sharing their stories, being a real person, not treating it as if I'm a business and you should come because you won't be part of this business venture or just part of my experience, but real people who are saying, I'm going on a cool trip here, I'm going to ride my bike, I'm going to take some awesome photos, do you want to come with me? And it really is up to me to share my stories, share my photos, share videos, and social media is perfect for that. And it costs me less to do marketing when I'm a real person. If you approach everything as if you're a business, then you've got a business mind. Like, I have to pay for access to people. But people will be inviting of and welcoming of people in their lives who are also real people as opposed to businesses, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for coming on the show. And if people want to get in touch with you or maybe even look up your business, where are the best places to go?
Well, the center of everything is the website, which is intentionallylost.com. And then the two places that I share the most are Facebook, which is just facebook.com/intentionallylost, and same on Instagram, instagram.com/intentionallylost. And if you just want my personal stories and pictures, my name is Kevin Winning, and you can find links to all of that on the website. So start with the website, and that'll send you everywhere else too.
I love that domain name, intentionallylost.com.
Well, thank you.
I don't think I asked this earlier, but how did you come up with that name?
It came around long before I started the bike tours idea. It was when I was doing a lot of travel and really focusing on travel photography. And that happened to be sort of my signature style. I would travel with friends and every night at dinner, that was the common theme that came up. And Kevin, we lost you again today. Where did you go? Well, we were walking through the market and something looked interesting. So I just took off and I went and photographed it. I had to go see what was down there. And so it just kind of was my signature style that my friends said, well, you're always getting lost. So I just turned it into a business name.
Well, it sounds like someone with ADHD, like myself, came up with this idea. And I can totally relate to that.
It's worked out so well for me so far. I haven't ever not come home.
Kevin, again, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be on the show. And thank you again for describing the experiences you get while on your photography bike tours. And I alluded to this earlier. It's not all about the bike tours or the photography. It's about the experience you get while on these trips that interested me about your business. And to me, that's the coolest thing ever, when you can connect to something and truly experience it. Thanks again for sharing that.
I hope that's what people see it as and are welcoming us and joining me on that experience.
This has been It's Your Break. It's Your Break has been brought to you by Shore Shooters. Visit them online at shoreshooters.com. Today's episode was produced, announced, and hosted by Jonathan Mertz. All music and sound effects were purchased through Sound Ideas. For more information on It's Your Break, go to itsyourbreak.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook at It's Your Break.